couple of weeks ago, I was discussing with Jonathan on a Wednesday evening. Jonathan, I haven't got a clue what I'm going to talk about. And it's my turn to preach at the chapel in a couple of weeks. Immediately, Jonathan laid his hands on me and prayed for me. He's got a habit of doing that. You better watch out. Driving home, a verse came to me and stuck. That's always a clear sign that God is trying to tell me something. And the verse was Philippians 1:21. Now, many of you have been within the church for, you know, many years. And, you know, all through my life, I've sung that chorus. And the chorus is, can I hear you shout it out? For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I'm sure you know it. And I've sung it all from my life. When I was a young Christian, did I really understand what that sort of chorus was trying to say? Or more importantly, did I believe what I was singing? After all, when you're young, all you want to do is live and experience life. And did I really think that my life was all about Christ? What I have to say today really is a reminder to me, and hopefully you may pick something up which will build you, benefit you. Maybe what God is trying to say. I wanted to concentrate on the first part of the verse about, for to me to live is Christ. I wanted to compare the situation of Paul with my own. You know, Paul's situation was really quite dire. He was chained to a Roman soldier who was living in fear of death every day. Nero was the Caesar, and if you know your Roman history, with which I've become acquainted quite a lot over the last 2 or 3 weeks, his hobby was killing Christians. And if we look back on Paul's life, all that he could see was hardship, pain and suffering. And, you know, if we just looked up at Corinthians 11, when Paul goes through some of the things that he actually went through, you know, he says, I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, danger from bandits, dangers from countrymen, dangers from Gentiles, in danger of the city, in danger for the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false brothers. I've labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and I've often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. So he knew what it's like to suffer. And yet, he puts all his trials and tribulations and puts them all behind him and puts Christ at the head. He says, so what? So what? You know, I'm living for Christ. Now I look back in my own life and wonder if I can say the same. I have it pretty easy as a Christian. I come to church once a week. You know, I might go to the Bible study. I might do a bit of praying. I may even do it every day. You know, I read a bit of the Bible. I say grace before meals. And I like a bit of Christian music. Is this what Christ meant about living for him? Or is this what Paul meant about living for Christ? I wonder what the persecuted Christians in the Middle East think about this phrase when they have to face up to the whole of the verse. It could be really easy to give up and do something else when faced with a life and death situation. Paul was facing such a dilemma, and it's quite clear in his message. For to me, to live is Christ. I'm wondering if I can say these words and mean them. If I apply these words to my own situation, what would they sound like? For to me, to live is cricket. For to me, to live is work. For to me, to live is approval, is control, is power, is comfort, is money. You know, it's no secret that I spend hours of my time on cricket-related things. And it's a constant thought process for me to decide if there's too much and if Christian things become secondary. Work has also been a motivator, and sometimes it's easy to put other things second to work in order to obtain a career. And this brings, what, power, money, control? But does it also mean that Christ is somewhere lost in the background, useful in times of need, secondary to the whole process? Talking about likes, being liked, let's just do a straw poll, shall we? So hands up those of you who are on Facebook. Actually, not as many as I would have thought. How many are on Twitter? Yeah, okay. We all like to be liked. I mean, Louise put on a picture of a cake. It was a walnut cake. I know it's a good walnut cake. How many likes did I get? About 30? Everybody wants to be liked, don't they? I mean, there's one footballer who's probably the best footballer in the world who should remain nameless, but, you know, he's got 1 million followers on his Twitter account. Well, we do have a go at Facebook and Twitter and blogging and that business. And, you know, we try and get people liking us because it sort of spreads out the word. So it can be used in a good sense, I suppose. But I suppose in context for living, you know, I'm going to ask myself some questions. And it's just some questions. I'll just ask them out. So I ask myself, what drives me? What do I worry about? What comforts me when things go wrong? What preoccupies me? What makes me feel worthy? What do I expect out of life? Let's put Christ into those questions. Christ drives me. Yeah, I've got some things to worry about, but Christ is with me. Christ comforts me when things go wrong. I'm preoccupied with Christ. Christ makes me feel worthy. I expect Christ out of life. In terms of, you know, what we're talking about today, it makes a bit more, puts things into a bit more context, doesn't it? Things start to make a bit more sense. You know, I quite admire my friends, the Jehovah's Witnesses. I see them going out every Saturday in the business of their sort of proselytization, driving their beliefs, trying to work out their salvation, hoping to be worthy to be accepted by God. You know, to my shame, I wonder when the last time I asked someone the church was, let alone talking about the salvation of Christ. You know, if this Christian life is so great, then why is my voice so timid? Paul had worked it out, though, hadn't he? He even turned things to a positive. You know, earlier in that chapter we looked at, he says that the whole palace knew about Christ, and the other Christians were becoming bolder to speak the word of God because of his situation and because of his commitment. So, Tom, I hear you say, you make things sound so easy. But what in reality does a Christ-centered life involve? Well, believe it or not, I've got no magic formula, but I just look to what the Bible says about the early Christians in Acts 2, verse 42, if I can get to it. And so it says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So that's what they were doing. You know, I know that Christ lives in our hearts by faith. And I know that we are a temple of the Spirit, His Holy Spirit, that the Spirit convicts and comforts and encourages us. But I guess the practical things of Christian life, like spending time in prayer, meeting each other like-minded people to learn more about the Christian life, studying the Bible, seeking renewal of mind and soul, all they play their part in a Christ-centered life. So I ask myself, where is Christ when I have that one pint too many? Where is Christ when I'm involved in chat that may be unsavoury? Where is Christ when I'm at work? Where is Christ when I watch a programme that contains material that should I be watching? You know, it's a cliche, but what would Jesus do? And then I thought to myself, well, should I cut myself off from society? Should I just break away? Well, the answer is no, isn't it? The answer should be Christ in cricket, Christ in work, Christ in talk, Christ in me. Does that make me a freak? No, I'm not a freak. But it does set us apart and therefore different. And Paul does say that in verse 27 when he implores us to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. So I'm going to ask us a question. This week, prayerfully, ask myself the question, ask yourself the question, is to live Christ? And from there, the implications for our lives and how we live it from our answer. If the answer is yes, then rejoice and keep on. If the answer is no, then what will you do with him? Amen.